Thank you, Mark. And yeah, it's an honor. It's a pleasure, really, to introduce Maliki because, you know, when I see his smiling face on there, it just brings me joy. You know, he's a lovely fellow. And I was saying to Mark, you know, I got a speaker that fit right in your meeting here. The Irish free thinkers, atheists, agnostics and such, pagans and assorted folks. And I know that Maliki has been described as, let me see, what was he? An atheist evangelist at one point, I think, Maliki. But, you know, if it's true that all, if really true religion, as the Dalai Lama said, his religion is kindness and love, I would say that also goes for Maliki. So without any more words from me, because I want to hear what Maliki has to say, I'll turn it over to Maliki. Thank you, Maliki. It's great to see you.
Ah, here we go. Technology. My name is Maliki, and I'll be 91 next month. So I'm very fortunate to be still alive. My history could be summed up in a few words. I drank, I sank, I'm here. And that's it. There are some details that go with that. I was born here in Brooklyn, and due to a death in the family, my sister, my mother and father and older brother, twins, and myself were taken off to Ireland. About 1934, I think that was. So somehow or another, my father was from Tonbridge, County Antrim. And so we went there first. And we were not exactly welcome. The grandparents didn't approve of my mother or something like that anyway. And then we got on the old train from Belfast down to Dublin. We got off the train. I don't know how I can remember this, but I remember being on the street, and because they had no money, they talked to a Garda Síochána, asked him if there's any place we could stay. And he thought the best place for us was in the cell of the Garda station. And then that was my first time in a cell. It wasn't the last either. And then we went to Limerick, and I grew up there. And my father deserted us. He went to England and left my mother destitute. So we were poverty-stricken in Limerick. And the twins died. And then two more were born. So four of us grew up in Limerick. So that was that. I went to school until I was 13, and left because I had to get a job. I never went back, but I'm an omnivorous reader, and that saved my life in that sense anyway. Worked in England for a while, and then because I was born here, I was an American citizen, and I was my brother Frank came first, and he sent for us all at one time or another. And so that's how I end up in America. I did a lot of menial laboring jobs because I could not ever produce anything in the way of academic qualifications for anything higher. But again, it was I was very fortunate that I loved reading. And so that gave me at least the appearance of education. But I must get back to Limerick because that's where the drinking started. When I was about 11, my friend John Jackie Adams, stole a couple of pounds from his brother's savings. And we went into a pub that was close by and into the snug. That the snugs in the pubs, all of them had, that was for women who want to be discreet about their drinking. But we've been kids, we sneaked in there. And that dopey barman served us two ciders, Bulmer's cider, I'll never forget it. And then we had a couple of more. And then we had some glasses of Guinness. And then by this time now, we were pretty fluthered. So I had read somewhere that you address your social inferiors as my good man. So I said to the barman, my good man, we will have 2 pints of Guinness. He said, what did you say? I said, my good man, I'll give you my good man. He said, I'll put my boot up your arse so far you won't be able to extricate, get out of here. I remember him shouting at us. So anyway, we were staggered out into the street and down to the docks where we bought 2 whiskey baby powers. They were little bottles of whiskey, like airline bottles. I don't know if they still had them. And we went down to the docks and drank the whiskey. And I sat down by a wall in the sunshine and went sound asleep. When I woke up, Jackie was gone and the sun had gone down. I was cold and I had pissed in myself while I was out. But I remember before I passed out, as a kid, I was thinking, I found myself a very strangely floating in the heavens. And I thought, somehow or another, with the teaching, Catholic teaching, all that, I thought I was with God. And I looked down on the human race with compassion and sympathy for their condition. And I remember feeling so godlike. And that was the beginning of my desire to rise above myself in material ways, spiritual ways, and all kinds of ways. And I always wanted to get back to, or get up there. And that's, but I didn't drink again until I was about 15 when I went to England. And I got to work and lying about my age, working in Coventry. But I was able to pass as a reasonably mature individual. So I worked there for a few years and went back to Ireland, worked there for a while. And in the meantime, I was getting drinking and not ever having enough. Well, the Guinness was very cheap at that time. It was 10 pence a pint, I think, as I remember. But then coming to America, I came by ship on the good ship America in 1952. I was 20, and I was working at all sorts of menial jobs. And I went to the theater one night and saw a play, and I thought it would be great to become an actor. So after the show, I left the theater and Then I turned around and went back and met a guy there, and I said, I would like to join your group. Now, this was a professional theater in off-Broadway in New York. And he said, do you have any experience? I said, well, I wouldn't need it. I'm Irish. He said, And do you have any pictures? And I said, I have an autographed picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in my wallet. And he laughed. And then he said, would you read for us? And I thought it was a literacy test. I didn't know it was an audition, I mean, theatrical reading. So I said I would. And so he come back on Sunday. So I went back on Sunday and I read for him. And I got a part in a play well, ever having been on the stage in my life. And then I used to go down to a bar around the corner run by an Irish man named Clavin. And he said, I used to go in there every night bringing some of the audience with me after the play. And he said, listen here, he said, if you want to keep coming here with that crowd, get behind the bar and serve them yourself. Oh, okay. So that was free drinks. And then some guy thought I was amusing and funny and put me on a national television show, The Tonight Show. And a man named Jack Parr was the host. So he kept asking me back. Then a couple of fellas asked me about, how about opening up your own bar? Oh, I said, sure. You have the money? They said, yes. And so I got into the saloon business and opened up the first singles bar in New York, Malachi's One. And Malachi's Two as well, that followed. But I blew that whole thing. I just got crazy. Then I met a woman, and she was from Park Avenue, and she was a young lady. And she said, we should get married. Oh, I said, okay. I was a yes man. And we went to Ireland on our honeymoon. And then my partners fired me. And so I went and got another bar and another one and another one. In the meantime, pursuing an acting career. And so in a very short time, in a few years after arriving, I got a degree of being well known. And because the television show, I used to be, it just was all so meteoric. And so I became very successful in a very short time. But all the time I was wondering, what the hell are these people thinking about? Here am I, this ignorant yahoo from the slums of Limerick, and I have no education, and they give me all these accolades and all of that. But I didn't tell them that. I still had that, it was an inferiority complex, as they say. And that was it. She divorced me, and then I went on a drunk that lasted years, in and out of bars, barking in them. And I got one thing I did was I got a guy came to me and said he had a job. I didn't involve travel, but I take it. And I said, sure. So he gave me a ticket to Zurich. So I went to Zurich and I met him. And I said, what do you want me to do? So anyway, that involved smuggling gold to India. So I thought that was a great, I loved India because I had read all about it. So that's how I got to travel to India with 20 kilos of gold on my body in a kind of a corset affair. And I did that for a couple of years and traveled around Europe, making a lot of money and all that. And then I came back to New York and got another bar. I got a television show for a while. I got a radio show, but I managed to screw it all up. But I met my beloved Diana then, and we got married. And for all the time drinking, I don't know, I got arrested for several times for drunk and disorderly. And it was all the time case dismissed. And then went to Ireland with my brother Frank. Wrote a book, Angela's Ashes, and he suggested I write something, so I did. I wrote a book called The Monk Swimming. Because when you're a kid, you mishear things. And I thought the Hail Mary said, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou, a monk swimming," I thought it said. But of course it was amongst women. But anyway, I went to Ireland with him. We wrote a show that was we presented here. And we went to Ireland and presented it there. And I drank and drank and drank again. And one night in Ireland, I got depressed and came back to New York. And I said, I better do something about this drinking. So I talked to a friend of mine, a Dublin man, Bob. And he took me to AA. That was 37 years ago, and I haven't had a drink since. I am an atheist, thank God, as they say. So I didn't, that part of it didn't appeal to me. But I am, I do believe in spiritual things. So I've been sober ever since. I'm very happy in the sense that I've got a bunch of things wrong. My disease, alcoholism. But then I got another one called IBM, inclusive body myositis. And that's a crippling muscular disease. I have prostate cancer and I have I've had several heart things, but I've managed to stay sober for all of that time. I had three brothers, and they've all died way before 80. And it seems vastly unfair that I am still alive. Diana and I are married now 57 years. We have between us four children, 9 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. And I get to meetings on the Zoom, and that would be sort of, and I live a day at a time. I find that it's a very comforting sort of thing that you don't have to do any. I don't have to drink. I have pensions and social security. We're not We're not well off, but we're okay. And I fell last year and broke my leg. So that got me into a wheelchair. So I am now not able to walk, but I go to Zoom meetings. So that's it. Then Patrick gets on the phone to me, and I've been talking to people all over the bloody world. Thank you, Patrick. And Mark, I'm at your service. I am a Maliki alcoholic, and I'm sober. I didn't drink yesterday. It's in the morning here. I didn't drink yet, and I hope to remain sober all of this day. And I'm very grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank you very much for hosting me today.